Good morning. Behind you are some very excited little people who are going to be waving their palm fronds and coming up. And while they are doing that, we will sing page number 155 out of the brown book. And normally I would say let's stand, but because we kind of want to see them, the kids, so we'll just stay seated and sing all three verses, okay?
Good morning, and let's turn to our call to worship in the bulletin. O God, you are our God. We seek you. We thank you for being our salvation, for being our chief cornerstone. O God, you satisfy our souls as with a rich feast. In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy, and you uphold us.
When the mission choir sings in Bethania, we sing the songs, but if the verses are familiar to everyone, I usually turn around and ask the congregation at Bethania to sing with us. And we feel that the songs we're singing today are so familiar that we can do that here. So when I turn around, I will invite you to sing. So please do.
welcome to all of you, our regular church family members and our guests. I have a guest to introduce today, my sister-in-law, Pat Titterton. Her and her husband are staying with Dale and I. They're from Stockholm, Saskatchewan, not Sweden, not that exciting maybe. But we're very happy to have them with us this weekend, and Pat came to worship with us today. Does anybody else have any guests they would like to introduce? Okay. And then we'll get into community life. Not the sharing, we will do that later, but community life. So I will start with something that is not in the bulletin. At council time, we talked about the donation that we had made to Siloam Mission on behalf of the church family, and they had sent us a thank you letter and an invitation to participate in a tour of Siloam and the work that they do there. So since I do a bit of volunteering there and I have a brother that works there, I kind of volunteered that I would get something started. So I have a sign-up sheet on behalf of council that is at the back and on the bulletin board in the education wing. So if you have any interest in attending a tour and just seeing what they do, and you will be surprised how much they actually do and how many volunteers there are from all walks of life. And I'm hoping that they will give us our own tour, which I think they would if the group is large enough. And I'm hoping that they would do it on a Saturday morning so that those who work or attend school would perhaps be able to participate in this as well. So, and it's not just open to us. If you have any friends that you would like to encourage and invite along, please, by all means, do so. And Alice and Summer have had little tours already. I've kind of introduced them to bits and pieces, so they kind of know what it's a little bit about, and hopefully a lot of you are interested as well. Then, just a reminder, downstairs, lunchtime. How can we miss it today with those wonderful soup smells coming up here? And if you forgot, you're still welcome to attend. You can always bring a donation next Sunday, but it's in support of youth and the programming that they're planning on doing in the next month. Is that right, Lizzie? Yeah. Yeah. So it's in support of what fun activities and learning activities they are planning. Then, as if that isn't enough food, next Sunday we're going to eat again, and we're going to come for a Pascha breakfast. So please, if you bake Pascha, please bring one. Don't bring too many, because there seems to, I think once or twice we must have run out, because we make very sure that never happens again. So you don't have to bring too much, but please attend. And it's, as it says, it's not just Pascha. Not everybody likes Pascha, but there's fruits and eggs and ham and cheese and buns, I think they've had in the past as well. So please feel free, and you are very welcome to come at 9:30 next Sunday as well. And then on May 5th, the Bethania Mennonite Personal Care Home Women's Auxiliary are having their annual spring tea. And if you love to bake and would like to donate some baking that they can sell at the tea, the ladies would love to have that. So bring it to church Sunday morning, wrapped up and ready to go. The pricing is done by the ladies in the auxiliary, but if you could just have it packaged up. Does anybody else have any announcements that they would like to highlight it at this time? Yes, would you? For sharing or for? Okay, we'll do it during sharing time, Hans, is that okay? Okay, super. And then we will have the caregiver commissioning for Alma Tom.
All right. Well, have we got sound? Okay. Here at North Kelowna Mennonite Church, we call from among us people who are interested in and gifted for the ministry that we call the caregiving ministry. I think it's kind of good that we've got the whole crowd of younger folks here so that they can see one of the things that we do in this church is we select people and then we entrust them to join with the pastor or the pastors working with caring about people in this church and also with giving some wisdom and advice in terms of the spiritual life of our congregation. That's what we invite of these people. And so because of the nature of the call and the ministry, it seems appropriate to have a time of commissioning for caregivers who are beginning their service. So at our congregational meeting back in February, because we couldn't do the official business in January, right? We called Alma Tom to the caregiving ministry in our church. And so this morning we wish to commission Alma as a caregiver in this congregation. So we have two questions for her, and we'll invite her positive response. You got that? I'm not inviting a negative response. So, do you believe this calling and your acceptance of it to be in response to the leading of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I do.
And will you trust in God's care? Keep a discipline of prayer and scripture study. Strive to grow in love for those you serve and seek to adorn the gospel you profess with a godly life.
Yes, I do.
Then we follow those questions with a question to the congregation. Sisters and brothers, you have heard the commitment to ministry made by Alma. Do you receive Alma as a caregiver in this congregation? So we pray a prayer of commissioning. Holy God, your love for us was so great that Christ emptied himself of his equality with you, taking on the form of a slave. Grant Alma the mind of Christ. Grant her a share in Christ's ministry. Pour out your Holy Spirit on Alma so that she might be given all the gifts needed to be a faithful caregiver. And now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. And so, Alma, you are commissioned as a caregiver in this congregation in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As God gives you strength, receive and give counsel. Help us grow in mission. Build the unity of the church. Speak the truth in love. Be a person of prayer and scripture. And then we want to give Alma a few moments to respond.
I would like to share why I have chosen to serve our church in this capacity. When we lived in Lac Du Bonny, I used to come in once a week to visit Vic's mother, Agatha Tom, and my mother, Maria Andres, in Bethania. And I noticed how so many different groups would come and minister to these people there, and I loved it. So when I returned to Lac Du Bonny, and I was on the women's ministry team, there was three of us, and I said to these ladies, I says, why can we not do this in Lac Du Bonny at the Buena Vista Personal Care Home? Well, we began that work. And today, I think it's 16 years ago when we started it, today it's going very strong. We started by telling the people, come and join us, bring your cup. We will bring the muffins, and that's how we began it. And now it's flown over to another section, and our ministers are involved, or our lay ministers are involved there, and they have a short service. So all of us ladies that come and join in this, we now support them by singing when the minister is there. So it is growing, and that's why I have this love for seniors.
Okay, guys, you can come over here and we'll hear a little story. Thank you, Jacob. Right here is good. Awesome. Oh, not everyone's coming? Aw. Thank you, Christian. Thank you. It's more fun to tell a story when there's lots. And I think you guys can already guess what the story's going to be today. What were we waving this morning? Palm leaves, that's right. Does anyone know where a... Do we have palm trees in Winnipeg? No, we wish we did, but we don't. But where Jesus was, there were a lot of palm trees. And the day that we're celebrating today is the day that Jesus came into Jerusalem. And people were so excited that they ripped branches off trees to put it on the ground so that Jesus' donkey would not have to touch the ground. Now, that's something from a long time ago. People thought it was too dusty for special people to be able to walk on the dusty ground. So that was a way of showing we're very happy to see you and we don't want you to get dusty. You are so special. So that's what you were doing this morning. Has anyone ever done that for you, Summer? Put something down so that you would be special? You wouldn't get dusty? Doesn't happen very often, does it? No. But people were so excited. And I remember when I was young like you, Palm Sunday was one of my favorite Sundays because I loved coming into church, waving my leaf, and maybe, I don't know if you did this, maybe bopping someone on the head with it. Was there some bopping happening? Because it's exciting. But I also remember being confused because... I remember being confused because in a couple of days we're going to come back to church and it's going to be Good Friday and we're going to be talking about the same Jesus being hung on a cross to die, and it never really made sense to me. So, I don't think it still doesn't really make sense to me, to be honest with you. So when you go to Sunday school, you can talk to your teachers and you can talk to your moms and dads. And us grown-ups are going to be listening to Pastor Marv today to try and explain how things can change so quickly that we can go from saying, Jesus, you are so special, we don't want you to touch the ground, to Jesus, we don't like you so much that we're going to kill you. Does Jesus stay dead? No, he doesn't. So next Sunday, we get to celebrate the best Sunday of the whole church calendar. Who knows what that's going to be? Nobody knows. Well, we're going to eat Pascha. Is that what we're celebrating? No. It's Easter, the day that we celebrate that Jesus rose from the dead. So can we pray the way we've been praying through Lent with a hug across our arms? Awesome. Oh God, you are our God. Thank you for loving us always on days when we are happy and excited and on days when we are sad or afraid. Help us to follow you always. Amen. And you get to go to Sunday school. Have fun.
And now we'll have our sharing time. I'll start off with just pointing out a few items and then Hans, we will bring the mic to you. As soon as I've read this, okay? I just want to bring to our attention that Derek Hoban will be having his prostate surgery on April 18th. Please keep him in your prayers. Keep the family in your prayers. Surgery is always a concerning time. So let's do our best to support the family. Then my dad's still in the hospital. Will be for a long time. I wasn't going to do this, but anyway, pray for him. Visit him if you can. He's lonely. And he does send his greetings to everybody. And now if you want to pass the mic to Hans.
Well, I haven't been here for some time, as many of you are aware of. So to the people who primarily speak English, good morning. And those who speak other languages, see, I know the plot, not all of it, but we're raised in a home where it wasn't forced on us, but all of us learned to flute and plautich. Not that I'm one who gossiped a lot, that was for a rumor we had. How she could remember all the names, I just don't know. But that's the case. But that's not really what I'm here to talk about. I would like you to know that ever since my first surgery in 2013, my health has been slowly going up. And my surgeon is a Dr. Timothy Matsubara. He is a Japanese-Canadian whose father was a minister of the gospel, just like my father was a minister of the gospel. So I got a good person here. Can you imagine? Preacher's kid fixing another preacher's kid? You better believe I was in good hands. And I'm so delighted. Somebody phoned me in about November. You haven't been in church in a long time. What's happened to you? We thought you died. No, I'm still here. But I picked a good day to come for a borscht lunch. You can smell that borscht all over your face. And I was just thinking of the Gospel of John where Lazarus had died, and Jesus relented to the sisters, and he said, all right, push the stone aside and I'll shout. Now, Lazarus, come forth! And he came forth. But if Jesus had a bowl of this borscht, I think Lazarus would have come out right away. And on that note, I could go on for a while, but I have to quit now because the rest of the church has to go on.
Hi, James Zacharias here. Two things. One, Kim, Melissa, Christian, and I came back from Israel, Palestine, and Jordan with the Westgate group, and thank you for keeping us in our prayers, and certainly happy to show you pictures and stuff. It was a wonderful trip. And the second thing, my mom, Helen Zacharias, had hip surgery on Thursday. 23 hours later, she was discharged, and she's doing great at home, so just so people know that. Thanks.
Hi, Ed Redekop here. A couple of things. First of all, we were talking about palm trees. They are very much a religious symbol to us. An interesting fact about the palm trees that maybe a lot of people don't realize is they grow in the tropicals where there's lots of tropical storms, right? Very powerful ones. And the palm tree, the reason why you see very few palm trees knocked over is because their roots go to over 20 feet deep. So when referring to a palm tree, that's what our faith is supposed to be like. Deep, deep roots. Anyways, I just wanted to update on Karen. Anytime I talk to her, she just says she's doing okay, but she laughs, she smiles, and she's just making the best of every day. She has asked the doctors not to tell her the timeline. She doesn't want to know. She just wants to live each day to the best that she can without knowing that when the end is going to be there, just like all the rest of us. But she's going under treatment, and she's doing okay. And thank you for anybody who's praying for her. Really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hello, Elizabeth here. Just wanted to give you an update on my mother-in-law. Lots of people were asking, but she's with us this morning. So she's slowly recuperating. Prayers for some more strength, and it's very tiring being on new meds and stuff. So she's going to be at our place. She has been. She's going to be for the rest of the week, and then we'll bring her home to Morden, so please pray for that to go smoothly as well when she's in her own home. Thanks again for all the prayers.
I do have one. Okay. We weren't here last Sunday. We thought we'd go worship somewhere else and give you freedom to do what you would do. Because there was a little meeting after church where there was some decision making.
And I thought it was just appropriate for me to just simply say thanks for the expression of support. For those who thought that sounds obtuse to, there was a vote last Sunday for a term renewal for me. It was good, it was positive, and so I appreciate that. I want to thank you for that and look forward to keeping on ministering and serving with you.
That was a lot of wonderful sharing this morning. Does anybody else have anything they would like to share at this time? Then we will continue with some worship music. Let us bow for prayer. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son and paving the way for our lives to be set free through Jesus' death on the cross. Thank you for what this day stands for, the beginning of Holy Week, the start of the journey towards the power of the cross, the victory of the resurrection, and the rich truth that Jesus truly is our King of Kings. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We give you praise and honor, for your ways are righteous and true. We give you worship, for you are holy and just. We will declare that your love stands firm forever, for your loving kindness endures forever. Thank you that your ways are far greater than our ways, your thoughts far deeper than our thoughts. Thank you that you had a plan to redeem. Thank you that you make all things new. Thank you that your face is towards the righteous and you hear our prayers and know our hearts. Help us to stay strong and true to you. Help us not to follow after the voice of the crowds, but to press in close to you, to hear your whispers and seek after you alone. We praise you, we bless you, Lord. Thank you that you reign supreme and we are more than conquerors through the gift of Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. And we will now take the offering.
Let's sing together out of the blue hymnal, number 293. No, I think that's wrong. It's out of the brown hymnal. Okay, so 293 out of the brown hymnal. Why don't we stand for this? Oh, no. Yeah. No, because we're doing offering.
I will be reading Luke 19, 28-40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, the owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They replied, 'The Lord needs it.' They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' he replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" And then I will read Philippians 2, verses 5-11. "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Well, a good morning to you. And Betty, you probably want, I think you were the victim of an office executive decision. Yes, because I think that you had suggested the number from the blue hymnal, the other hymnal for that last song we sang. But the office decided to keep all the songs from the same hymnal, and that particular version had four-part harmony. So that was the office decision. Good. Let's take a moment to pray. Our God, as we come this morning to think about the text of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, we pray that our hearts would be open to you and to your desire to continue coming to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, is there anyone who was thinking of a song title when they looked at my sermon title for this morning? Anybody? Okay, people under 50. Somebody in the back too? Oh, well, of course Lainey was, yeah. She listens to all the popular newer music from the 80s or whatever, the 70s. Okay. And which song were you thinking of? Purple Rain, yeah. Prince? So we didn't hear it in the offertory or in the prelude, did we? No. Well, last Tuesday night, Cheryl and I were watching the final regular season game of the Toronto Raptors. And at one point in the game, the Raptors were shooting very well. A lot of three-point baskets were going in. And evidently that conjured up the image of rain for Raptors broadcaster Jack Armstrong. And he began singing the chorus of Prince's song, Purple Rain. And Cheryl thought that would make a good sermon title. Considering the way that I had been using some song titles as sermon titles, and my first reaction to her suggestion was dubious. But when I thought about it some more, I thought that with a little twist on words, because Prince's Purple Rain is R-A-I-N, right? But with a little twist on words, it could make some sense for our Palm Sunday sermon this morning when we consider Jesus' entry into Jerusalem in his final week of life. After all, purple is a royal color, and Jesus was entering Jerusalem in the style of a king. We also recognize that people who accompanied Jesus on that entry shouted biblical phrases that indicated they were thinking of Jesus as a king. And then the other text we're thinking about this morning from Paul's letter to the Philippians calls into mind an image of Jesus as one to whom every knee will bow in worship. And so, Purple Rain isn't a bad title for this sermon. Well, we're going to look at the two texts that I mentioned from Luke and Philippians this morning with the focus on the coming of Jesus as a king and what it means to think of Jesus as a reigning king. What kind of reigning king is Jesus, and how does that impact our response to him? What is it like to live under his purple reign? Well, we read the story from Jesus' entry into Jerusalem in Luke chapter 19. There is a story like it in each of the Gospels, and I made no attempt to try to bring the various stories together. We're looking only at the story in the Gospel of Luke. Luke, as he tells the story of the life of Jesus, tells us a number of times that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. I flipped through the pages of Luke. It happens a number of times. On his way to Jerusalem. In chapter 18, verse 31, Luke tells us about Jesus taking his 12 closest followers aside and telling them
that they are going to Jerusalem. And then Jesus tells those men that when they get to Jerusalem, he will be captured, tried, and killed. Luke tells us that the disciples do not understand any of this. The trip continues. Jesus approaches the town of Jericho and comes across a blind man whom he heals. The formerly blind man then follows Jesus as the trip continues and praises God as he goes. Other people do too. We would get the impression that a crowd is building around Jesus as he journeys to Jerusalem. In Jericho, Jesus goes to the home of a man named Zacchaeus, where it seems many people join them and listen to Jesus' teaching. Luke recounts a story that Jesus tells the people there about a king and his servants. It seems that Jesus tells the story about a king because the people think that the kingdom of God is going to appear right then. It looks like this crowd of people that are around Jesus expect that Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem and set up the kingdom of God. And so that prepares us for today's story. We find Jesus now nearing Jerusalem. We imagine that there is still a fairly sizable crowd of people with him. About 2 miles before entering Jerusalem, Jesus comes to a place where he knows that there is a donkey colt tied up. He sends two of his followers to go and get the colt and bring it to Jesus, with the instruction that if anyone asks why they are taking the colt, they are to say that the Lord needs it. When that answer satisfies the people who do ask why they are taking the colt, we get the sense that Jesus may be known by the owner of the colt and by those who ask the men why they are taking it. When they hear that the Lord needs it, they don't get in the way. We reflect on the identification of Jesus at this point in the story. He refers to himself as Lord, and the people to whom that identification is given accept that. They seem to affirm it. We recognize that Jesus is identifying himself as the Messiah, God's anointed king. Well, the colt is then brought to Jesus. People put their cloaks on it and set Jesus on the colt. In the spirit of today's sermon title, I imagine that there are purple cloaks among the cloaks that are on the colt. Now, this is an important event for us to understand. We are told that when kings would ride into a city over which they ruled in peace, they would ride on a donkey. Jesus is coming as a king. The crowd that accompanies Jesus is taken with this imagery, and so they chant a psalm, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Some of the religious group of people called the Pharisees are near the group. They don't like what's going on. They don't like Jesus much. They have had conflict with him periodically over the last 2 years. They don't like the adulation that people are giving to Jesus here at this event. They probably don't like the possibility that this event will bring Roman wrath down on them either. They would like this whole spectacle to go away. And they tell Jesus to tell his followers to stop what they're doing. Jesus' response is interesting. "I tell you," he says, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." This is not a time for secrecy. Jesus' kingly entrance is being proclaimed, and the proclamation will not be stilled. Let's consider what the main emphasis of Luke's story seems to be. And I've invited you to think of the various ways that Luke emphasizes the idea that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem as a king. Jesus told a story about a king in Luke's account just before he began the entry into Jerusalem. Jesus called himself Lord, and people accepted that title. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, one way that kings would be transported. The spreading of cloaks seems to imply some kind of reverence. As the people chanted in praise to God, they took a verse from Psalm 118 that said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," and substituted the king for he. In all these ways, Luke's story emphasizes that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem as a king. Now, what is the significance of this? Well, this was Jesus finally being prepared to openly claim to the people of Israel that he was God's chosen.
In effect, then, this was an invitation for people to receive Jesus as their king, to give their allegiance to him. When we jump forward to today and think about what the Bible says about Jesus, we realize that this kingly status of Jesus was not eradicated by the events of the week that was to come. The events of the arrest, the trial, and the execution of Jesus. No, in the great song that Paul, the Apostle Paul, quoted in Philippians chapter 2 and that we heard read earlier, we hear, "Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus continued to be revealed to us as a king to whom worship is due. Having witnessed that emphasis in our text for this morning, we need to ask further what kind of king Jesus is. Of course, we have to study the entirety of the Gospels and the witness to Jesus in the rest of the New Testament to answer that completely. And we'll limit ourselves this morning to what the Gospel text tells us. We've already noted that Jesus was willing to declare his status openly on the occasion of his entry into Jerusalem. Jesus is clear about calling humanity to accept and follow his authority. There's clarity there. That's one of the things we would say about Jesus as king, what kind of king he is. But Jesus as king does not coerce or force us to follow. Immediately following the part of the entry story we read today, Jesus views the city of Jerusalem spread out before him, and he weeps. We had a similar story that we looked at in a sermon a few weeks ago, Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. It happens again here. He weeps because he knows that the people of Judah are not going to respond by entering into God's kingdom. He envisions destruction for Jerusalem because the people there would not respond to what would have brought them peace. This picture of Jesus demonstrates a king who does not demand service. This picture of Jesus demonstrates a king who has tremendous love for the people he would have in his kingdom. He weeps because he knows they are not going to respond positively to the invitation and the call that he has given. We heard this love nature emphasized in the passage in Philippians 2 as well. Paul calls his readers there to become like Jesus, and then describes Jesus as one who was in very nature God, but gave that up to take on humanity. As this week continues, we will commemorate what Paul related in this text, that Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This Jesus who entered Jerusalem with the symbolic declaration of kingship is a king who demonstrates his profound love for humanity. This is the Jesus who invites us to follow him, acknowledging his authority in our lives because of his deep love for us. As we think about our response to this message, this revelation of the authority of Jesus and of his invitation to humanity to follow him, we might ask ourselves how we compare to the people of Judah in the story. Some of those people responded positively to Jesus for a time. Some, as we noted, wanted the whole thing to go away. As the week continued and Jesus was arrested, we find that the people of Judah mostly rejected the invitation of Jesus. Of course, this was what Jesus had anticipated as he entered Jerusalem. We might think that we surely would have responded positively to Jesus' invitation no matter what, if we had been present there that week. But we might ponder the questions that Elizabeth Johnson ponders or poses in her online commentary this week. Are we really so very different from them? How quickly does our faith falter when God does not deliver what we are expecting? How quickly does our discipleship falter when we realize the great costs and risks of following Jesus? How often do our self-serving instincts lead us to deny Jesus and his claim
on our lives. In an article I read, or well, in an interview I read this week with Richard Foster, the encourager of the spiritual disciplines, perhaps some of you have read some of his books. He was prolific for a time in writing. But in that interview, Foster calls Christians to be willing to be mastered by God. If we are people who have responded positively to this call, we might ask ourselves if we are continuing to hold Jesus in a place of kingship in our lives. If we are people who have not responded positively to this invitation of Jesus to follow him, we are encouraged to ponder this invitation deeply. As we ask ourselves whether we are willing to give ourselves over to the kingship of Jesus, to his purple reign, we do well to remember that we do not give ourselves over to a tyrant. We give ourselves over to a benevolent king who loves humanity deeply, who comes to humanity in peace, who chooses to serve humanity, and whose heart breaks when humans reject his proffer of a loving relationship with the king. It is because God envisions good for us that he calls us to submit ourselves to the kind of kingship he revealed in Jesus. His is a purple reign that we welcome. Let's pray. Gracious, loving God, you've come to us in Jesus. In the scripture text we examine today, Jesus came as king. We simply recognize that we need to put you in that place, that you call us into a loving relationship with you, the king of our lives. Guide us and teach us in that, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Who will confess Jesus as Lord today?
Hi, I'm Mackenzie. For the last two summers, I've had the privilege of working at Council Meeting as a team volunteer and as an SLT, or a servant leader in training. And this coming summer, I'll be working as a junior counselor. One of my favorite things about camp is the atmosphere. It's so calming and fun. Everywhere you look, there's a smiling face or beautiful trees and scenery. Camp is like a bubble of love and acceptance, where you can just go to get away from your normal, busy life. In case you didn't know, I love music. A huge part of camp is singing and playing music. Singing at camp is an amazing way we build community and have fun. We do it twice a day, at least. Once with the worship service, we just all sing and have like upbeat songs, and then one time at the end of the day in the evening, we go, at least at Camp Assiniboia, to the river. There's a little campfire, and we all sit around and just kind of calm our minds and sing. Working at camp has challenged me in many different ways, whether that be solving disagreements between campers or going on a 5-day hiking, camping, canoeing trip with all the SOTs last summer. Without a doubt, I believe camp can help bring out the best in people, whether that be a camper or a counselor. Camp offers a place for someone to be themselves, have fun, and challenge themselves physically, mentally, or spiritually. I can't wait to go back this summer.
Let us turn to our bulletin for our response to confession as well. We are all invited to confess Jesus as Lord. Let us bring ourselves to God in prayer.
Dear God,
confess your Son, Jesus, as our Lord. When others vie for our loyalty, we will confess Jesus as Lord. When earthly powers claim supremacy, we will confess Jesus as Lord. When our souls hunger for reality, we will confess Jesus as Lord. And in the evening, we will confess Jesus as Lord. Our generous God has provided for us.
So after we have confessed and what we believe, and then, like Handel said in the Messiah, how beautiful are the feet that preach the gospel of news. So that's our sending song. Stand for the benediction, and after the benediction we will sing Praise God From Whom All Blessings Flow 606, and that will also be our prayer for our meal. So when you go downstairs, we will have lunch waiting, and we prayed up here, so just dig in and enjoy. As we enter into this holy week, may every knee bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth as the name of Jesus, and may every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. So number 606 in the brown hymnal.